The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I suppose it's pointless to speculate, but whenever I hear the story of Jesus healing the man sick of the palsy, I cannot help but wonder what the man's friends thought when Jesus forgave him his sins. Now the text says that Jesus saw their faith, but his forgiveness what they wanted for their friend when they went to all the work of bringing him to Jesus? Is that what they expected when finally they placed him before the Savior? And what about the people standing by? Did Jesus surprise them when, instead of healing a man so obviously bad off, he forgave him his sins? We don't know, of course, how anybody felt, including the sick man. But I, for one, am always just a little surprised by what Jesus does here. Here is a man desperately in need, paralyzed, flat on his back, so helpless that he must be carried in by his friends. But what does Jesus do? He who had already done so many marvelous deeds, what does he do? Does he heal the man? No. He forgives his sins. Nothing wrong with that, of course, and by the end of the story, Jesus has healed the man as well. But clearly, the miracle takes second place to the forgiveness. And Jesus performs that miracle in order to teach us something very important. First of all, about himself, but also about us. We have then a miracle in this morning scripture reading, but not only a miracle. We have a miracle with a message. Now, to a great extent, of course, the message is explicit. Jesus tells us what the miracle means, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. No doubt about that, is there? In a highly dramatic fashion, Jesus demonstrates his own divine authority in the face of opposition from the religious elites of his day. Motivated by unbelief, the scribes in the story immediately find fault with Jesus for forgiving sins. This man blasphemeth, they say. Now, obviously, our Lord is taking for himself a divine prerogative in pronouncing absolution upon a sinner. So that from a certain standpoint, the theological instincts of the scribes were correct, although not their judgment. You see, sin is always directed against God, so God is the one who must forgive it. Although sins against the second table of the law, sins like lying and murder and adultery, injure and hurt human beings, they are sins. First of all, because God has forbidden them. As the creator of all men, God desires good for all, and so he forbids us to harm or to wrong our neighbor. Therefore, when we sin against others, we are really sinning against God. And so, only God can forgive sins. For any man to forgive in his own name and by his own authority is blasphemy. And so too for Jesus, were he just a man. What he does in this story, therefore, is to stake out the highest claims for his person. He is not just a man. He is God himself. Now, by this time already in the life of Jesus, our Lord has many, many times demonstrated his divinity in miracle after miracle. For instance, healing the man full of leprosy with his touch and with his word. Or the centurion's servant when he wasn't even present. Or stilling the storm, that violent tempest, when all the disciples were going to drown. Certainly, Jesus had shown himself to be the God with us And the scribes should have known it, but they refused to believe it. So Jesus shows it again. And this time he does it by posing a test. Which is easier, he says, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? Now notice that he asks, which is easier to say? Not to do, but to say. And I think that the answer to that question is the first. It's easier to say your sins are forgiven than it is to say arise and walk, because the latter is verifiable immediately. Either the man gets up and walks, or he doesn't. There can be no ambiguities or doubts. Whereas that's not the case precisely when pronouncing absolution. After all, how do I verify forgiveness? Well, whatever. Jesus is really putting his authority on the line by posing this test when he says to the paralyzed man, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine own house. But what happens? Immediately, the man gets up and walks. For the God who had first created Adam, the creator of all human beings, was present in Jesus of Nazareth. He heals the palsied limbs, for Jesus is God, and he forgives sins. Now, we hear so much about forgiveness in the Lutheran Church that it's easy, I guess, to underappreciate this part of the story. The age of miracles is long gone, but Sunday by Sunday, if not more often, we hear the same message. Your sins are forgiven. So sometimes I suspect that what we would really like from church is a miracle and not forgiveness. A healing, perhaps. Maybe even a resurrection. Something to take away the hardships and sorrows of life in a fallen world. But in this story, Jesus is really showing us the priority of forgiveness to any other sort of divine intervention. Consider once again the paralyzed man, or indeed any of those that Jesus healed, including even those that he raised from the dead. What happened to those folks? Well, they went on living, of course, until what? Until illness or injury or accident struck them again. Until death finally caught up with them. And they died. Think about it. The young man of Nain, Jairus' daughter, even Lazarus. Where are they today? All dead again. So without forgiveness, without some way of being made right with God, those who benefited from miracles wouldn't benefit very much at all. They would still be in their sins. They would still have to die. They would still have to face the judgment and the wrath of God. So that what we have today in the church is the best part of Jesus' ministry. What he actually came to do as the God-man among us. To redeem us. To suffer and die for us. And so to forgive us and restore us, not so much in our bodies as in our relationship to God, our Father, from whom our sins had estranged us. And this forgiveness is the key to all the rest. Eternal life instead of death. Heaven instead of hell. Resurrection instead of the grave. Take away forgiveness and all that is gone. But with forgiveness in Christ, all has been gained. Like the man sick of the palsy, we have the best part when we have forgiveness. At the very end of the story, the evangelist comments on the reaction of the people. They glorified God who had given such power unto men. Now, these words suggest that they still didn't quite get it. For Jesus was not just a man with great gifts. He was God himself. But we, in the light of the entire gospel and by the power of God's Spirit, we can get it. And not just in concept, but in practice as well. For by the power of Christ, we live every day by the forgiveness of sins. And we share that forgiveness with one another and with those outside of the church as well. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus says that to us, and we say it to others. The miracle, well, the miracle is long gone. But the message, the message is ours forever. Amen. And now the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.